Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
His speed is obviously a huge factor, and he, he pushes defensemen back, gives the wingers a lot of time with pucks on the walls when he has that much speed going through the middle. So it's been good. I think our chemistry is growing and building, and I think we'll just keep getting better.
Jason Zucker talking about Marty Baron to kick things off here on Sabres Live.
My speed is exceptional.
You tend to push others back with that aggressive play, and this is the fall foliage big hat edition of Sabres Live.
Big hat. Did you see Colorado Avalanche are doing a big hat for a player of the game inside the locker room? So, obviously, if there's no story behind it, it's not good. Like, the Sabres have a great story behind their, German Oktoberfest vest. I love it. I was with the Rangers. We had the Broadway hat. There was a big story behind it. Loved it. The pigeon the Sabres gave out years ago had a great story because of Yaroslav Spacek. It was great. But no, Ryan McLeod was who Jason Zucker was talking about. And he's been great, 4 goals in 4 games. And now that we have a little bit of a break in action, let's just say, Tuesday to Saturday, sometimes we reflect on players that have really done well, and McLeod has done really well of late.
A lot of stories around the NHL. We'll dive into those both before, during, and after the Darren Dreger segment, which happens at the bottom of the hour. From a Sabres standpoint, because they are off today, resume skating tomorrow in advance of game number 9 this season, which happens Saturday afternoon at 1. It's Hockey Halloween. It's also part of 3 and 4 for the Red Wings, who will provide the opposition that day. Detroit has New Jersey tonight. Then they come into Buffalo at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Then they're home to the Rangers on Sunday. So this is a really interesting stretch for a team that has just started to feel good about themselves because of the goaltending of Alex Lyon, most importantly, but obviously he's not going to play all 3 in that 4-day stretch. So will Buffalo get Lyon? Will it be Cam Talbot? We will see. When we are looking at the Sabres right now, after going 3-1-1 in the last 5, let's do this or that, or for better or for worse, whatever you want to call it. Like, what are you excited about in this window before the next game? Where are your concerns at in this window before the next game?
Well, it's kind of funny because what I'm excited about, Duffer, is not something that I thought I was going to get excited about, but they have now brought me back in as the offense, the goals, the expected goals per game. After the first 3 games, they had only scored 1 goal per game, 1 in New Jersey the first game, 1 against New Jersey the second game, those both in Prague. Then LA Kings' Darcy Kemper plays well against them. You're thinking, well, what's happening here? This was going to be the bounce back, right? I even said on this show to you and Shayna Goldman, here's my bold prediction. Sabres will have a top 5 offense this season. And after 3 games, I'm like, how do they get back there? Like, can 3 games really affect the average that at the end of the year, they will not get back to a top 5 offense? What we've seen, and I thought it was evident against Dallas on Tuesday, but that the transition game, the quickness to get out of their zone and up, even on the Thompson goal, a quick pass from down below the goal line up to the neutral zone, and you're on the attack, you're on the rush. Those were all things that make me still believe now that they can get a top 5 offense this year. And when you look at the expected goals per game, they're 9th in the league, despite the fact that the first 3 games, well, the first 2 especially, did not generate a lot of offense. They're 9th in the league right now. They're working their way back up.
They're 18th in goals 4 per game, which is not surprising based on those first 3 games you spoke of. They are the smallest of fractions away, based on the current pace they are on over the last 5 games, from vaulting very close to the top 10, which then would line up with exactly what you're talking about, expected goals, real goals, real expectations. And I think that's what has to be talked about here. this group should have higher expectations. Not that they didn't at the start, but there's frustration that comes in with not scoring. And perhaps because everyone's wired differently, but sometimes it can have a group effect when you collectively don't score. But there might have been some doubts there after the first three games.
Yeah.
But now that they have shown it, and they've shown it largely without contributions from the second line, which was probably everyone's focal point in thinking, if the Cousins line with Quinn and whomever can get back to two seasons ago, that will make such a huge difference for Thompson, for Tuck, for Paterka, for McLeod to come in seamlessly and be a good third line player for this team. So, like, that's kind of, like, it sounds really strange, but I might be most excited about the fact that they have 22 goals in the last five games, and in theory, it should get a lot better from the second line.
Well, it should. Okay, because we are Thursday and Dregs is coming in, but usually on Thursdays is the official this or that day of Sabres Live. Now, we do it sporadically all over the place. We don't focus on that today. But you talk about the second line, the Cousins, Quinn, and whoever, right? It was Benson or Kulik or whoever on that line, not really producing. And the power play still has zero. So this or that. Which one, at the end of the day, has the greater impact on the Sabres getting to a top five offense? And I think, to me, it has to be the power play, because right now you're getting production from, you know, the Greenway, Zucker, McLeod line. You're getting a little bit of production, well, a little bit, enough, Malenstein and Krabs, right? You're getting that. But I think the power play is where it needs to take a step forward. Like, yeah, Cousins and Quinn, it'd be great if they scored. But if I had to pick between the Cousins and Quinn, like, pairing, producing, or the power play getting going, I'm going to vote the power play. I want the power play to have an impact because it's going to affect the whole game overall. So that's where I'm at right now. I'd pick both of them if I could. But if I only had this or that, I'd say the power play.
For the sake of argument, I would go opposite simply because
it's really close.
The Cousins line is going to be out there in the game far more often than the power play is going to be out there. That's just that's a reality.
And if
in a world where you get two to three power plays a game, typically on average across the NHL.
And if McLeod and, you know, Greenway and Zucker don't produce offensively like they have been producing, it doesn't matter if you get two or three power play and you get a goal or two on the power play, you're going to need Cousins' line to produce. Right now, it may not be as alarming to me personally where Cousins' line is at, because you're getting production somewhere else in the lineup. So that's why my focus is on the power play sitting here on Thursday. But in a week from now, the Sabres will have played 10 games. You can do like a 10-game recap of everything that's going on. By that point, it could change.
Just to go back to Detroit, who's the next opponent, very briefly, it sounds like they've got some issues in their room health-wise going into this game against New Jersey, and Cam Talbot is actually going to start tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, based on health or whatever, you would assume that Lyon's going to get the next game, which would be Buffalo on Saturday afternoon at 1. But again, honestly, there's 9 games in the NHL tonight, and all of them have really significant interest to me. Like, storylines, whatever. I think they're all really good. But based on Buffalo's next opponent and how bad New Jersey has been from a defending standpoint of late, I think the Detroit Devils game is going to be real interesting. You mentioned off-air the fact that they're going to get Pesci and Luke Hughes back in their blue line tonight. So that could be a big win for the Devils on the road against Detroit. But we shall see. Right now, the Wings are .500 on the year at 3-3. Of course, Buffalo's played 8 games. They are 3-4-1.
Yeah, I can't believe that you are like not letting the real cat out of the bag. Is your excitement level for St. Louis at Toronto and the Craig Berube reunion?
I hope Binnington shuts them out with a 40 save effort, you know. But it'll probably be Hofer. I'm just waiting for another lame headline, to which I won't attach the website, you know, where I read the other day, Berube eager to lead to end Leafs Cup drought. You know,
Well,
how about Berube not eager to end. Like, that's the headline, you know? Like
okay, I can put insert coach name here. Rough, eager to end Cup drought or playoff drought or whatever. Like, well, it's easy. Yes. It is Bennington tonight, by the way. And Joseph Woll is making his first start of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So this intrigues me a little bit just because of Joe Woll and the situation with the goalies in Toronto. But also the situation with Joel Ofer, the backup goaltender to Bennington, has been really good with St. Louis. And Bennington started the first couple of games good and then had a little drop. And, you know, so to me, it is interesting that matchup. But I do
believe... And does Broberg start a new streak? These are things that people are concerned about
player,
around the league.
Philip Broberg, your favorite player, Philip Broberg. Well, like, who? What? Devils Red Wings is the marquee matchup for me. The Bruins, who have struggled a little bit of late, and they're in Dallas. Dallas is in Boston, I should say. Yep. So we see how Dallas bounces back. But there is some really fun matchups.
Minnesota at Tampa. The Lightning offense. Will they actually take a lead on the Wild? Florida and the Rangers is probably the marquee matchup. Florida has been struggling of late. The Rangers are arguably the best team in the league at 5-0-1. Carolina and Calgary, like the Flames, are so interesting right now at 5-0-1. But Carolina's coming off this incredible comeback win in overtime against the Oilers. So, yeah, I love the matchups here tonight.
Yeah, and if you want to get some late night hockey, the Colorado Avalanche are playing Utah in Utah. So Colorado has been going well. And listen, don't look now, but Cale Makar leads the scoring, you know,
in the NHL.
Leaders right now. And, we talked about 100 points for Cale Makar. Like, Eric Carlson did it 2 years ago with the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
But I'm not just talking about 100 points right now for Cale Makar. I had to go back and say, okay, Bobby Orr is the only defenseman to have led the league in scoring ever in the history of the league. He actually did it twice. But, you know, is Cale Makar
that guy? It was tough
the
year Paul Coffey had 48 goals and didn't even come close because he just happened to be playing with Wayne.
Like, come on. Like, that makes it that way. But but is Cale Makar the one and only player, defenseman in today's NHL to be able to achieve such a feat as to lead the league in scoring?
100%. It's not even
which
close.
Is incredible. Yeah. Like, you know what? 9 o'clock tonight, you want to put on ESPN Plus and see that game, you know, between the Avalanche and the Utah Hockey Club in Utah. Mm-hmm. It's a fun kind of story this year, the buzz in that building, although Utah is hurting right now on defense. And maybe that opens the door for Makar to have 3 or 4 points again tonight. And all of a sudden, he's leading by more.
Unbeaten Winnipeg is at Seattle. Apologies for being this deep into the season and not mentioning Will Borgen, but Will has had reduced ice time this year in Seattle. Still a big part of their group of six, but reduced ice time based on the fact that, you know, you bring in a Brandon Montour. But, you know, Vince Dunn's hurt there too. So it's been a challenge for Seattle out of the blocks. And obviously, if you're going to use the word challenge, you're going to, you could put it on a few teams, most notably Philadelphia after a 6th straight loss last night, but you would hang it on San Jose all day because they still haven't won yet. And I do wonder just how it's all going to unfold. Like, San Jose had those ridiculously long, horrific streaks last year, but then they would put together 20-game windows where they were a 500 club and very competitive, right? So I think it has to turn here at some point, I would think, for them. But and maybe they get to jump on the old cliche because LA gets their first home game of the year after 7 on the road.
Oh, yeah, the trap game. The trap game for the LA Kings right now happening. They're coming back. Although, you know, they were home. They came home, and then they played Anaheim, and they played Vegas. So the 7 games, yes, it's technically a 7-game road trip, but it was 5, come home, get some new laundry, you know, say hello to the family.
Hey, speaking of laundry, like, do I have to beg for compliments here? Like, what the heck?
No, I'm just waiting to see if we get any comments on social media about the hat. Number one is excellent, but because tomorrow is the first red and black day, not tomorrow, Saturday is the first red and black game of the season.
Yeah.
I think you're already, in the festivities, let's just say.
You started it by wearing black and red on set the other night in a blue and gold game. So I felt obligated to continue it. The red cap from New Era was first debuted at the Bush concert this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you know, I had to seek approval from our Friday hockey star, Shayna Goldman. because she, remember, she had black and on last week.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, is it time to break this out? And she was like, 100% yes. So
100%. Yes. You got.
And you had
it
me
out.
Concerned yesterday that all the leaves were coming off the trees because of the velocity of the wind. So I thought, well, I may as well get out in Mother Nature today and have a decent backdrop before the trees look naked.
Okay. You mentioned the San Jose Sharks. Obviously, they are without. Bordolo now is hurt and Celebrini is hurt, and you know they're without some of their young players. Mm-hmm. But last night there was only one game in the NHL, and that was Washington and Philadelphia, which they had played the day before in a frozen frenzy. So they had back to backs both of those games. Matvei Michkov, mm-hmm. I watched him. I think I can give him the Calder today. I can say you are going to be the best rookie in the NHL by a mile this season. And he was spectacular, controlling the play, acting like, the veteran of the team. Like, there's a delayed penalty. He's like, got the puck, and he's Michael Jordan with hand signal to everybody on the ice where to go. And he doesn't speak much English, right? And he got into Brendan Duhaime the one time, which was kind of hilarious. I'm like, what are those two guys going to be talking about? Like, Michkov speaks very little English, and Duhaime is looking at him like, what? So I think Matvei Michkov, which was a surprise pick by the Philadelphia Flyers because he dropped a lot in that draft, the Connor Bedard draft, by the way, he was spectacular, and I think he's going to be something to watch this year for the Flyers.
Well, hard to dispute any of that. Fact of the matter is there wasn't really a noticeable impact from the Flyers offense until they were down 4-0, and then it was score effect. But they came close before, succumbing to empty netters and falling for a sixth straight time.
OV, baby! OV with another empty net. What? Not an easy one either, because his backhand, the curve on his stick is like a boomerang, and he was under pressure. He wasn't going to give it up. Most players in that situation would have chipped it to the middle because he had support down the middle. Now, OV is 40 goals away. He's putting that one in the backhand into the empty net.
Most empty netters of all time, Alexander Ovechkin. He's now 2 ahead of the great one in that category. I suspect it'll be 15 ahead by the end of this season, based
on... would know this trivia question, Duffer. So it is Ovechkin number one. It is Wayne Gretzky number two. Who is number three in all-time empty net goals?
It's either Hossa or Staal.
It is Marian Hossa. You're 100%. So
yeah.
It is.
You know why I know that? Because in the brief time Staal was a Sabre, on the stat and was waiting for him to add many, many, many empty netters for Buffalo, and it unfortunately did not happen.
Crosby and Marchand are right behind that. Marian Hossa is third in empty net goals.
Yeah. What a player.
Unbelievable player. But he wouldn't have been although think about it, the quality of an all-around player that he was, when you included defensively, offensively, physicality, he had to be on the ice a ton late in games. And you're the guy I trust when we're up a goal. Like, Ovechkin is an anomaly in that sense. Like, why do you have Ovechkin on the ice when you're up a goal? The only reason is because he can score you empty net goals. Mm-hmm. He's not going to block shots. He's not going to be the most defensively responsible. But when he gets the puck, he knows how to burst to an open area and shoot it in the empty net, which is surprising that Ovechkin was on the ice that often for empty net goals. But Hossa, not surprising to me.
Hossa is actually a really interesting example of perseverance, especially when I look at the Sabres and, the growth both ways in the game that will still need to come from their top players. I was fortunate enough to see Marian at the start of his career for years with Ottawa. And I mean, that team couldn't have gone through more humiliating experiences in the playoffs after being great in the regular season to be bounced by their arch rival Toronto in the playoffs. And then Marian's personal journey ended up taking him to three straight finals before winning a Stanley Cup. And then it all came together. And that resume at the end of his NHL career is one of, wow. And by the way, knee surgery in junior wiped him out. Like, so he came in as a highly touted prospect, but one that was still trying to get his footing, literally. Immense respect for that player. Tremendous speed before it was talked about, where everybody had elite speed, Just the great bursts and great defensive savvy. And yeah, so
you talk about lower body injury, and I'm going to jump back. I just saw on social media come across Dan Rosen of the NHL saying Barkov will not return to the lineup tonight. He could return.
That would have been early if he had.
But it would have been like, but it was trending like he could, but you know, the Florida Panthers are going to be going at MSG without Sasha Barkov in the lineup.
Okay, let's talk about a big night offensively in Rochester last night.
Yes.
The Amerks had Cleveland in town, and this was not close from the get-go. Incredibly, the Monsters had all the power play opportunities early, but the Amerks were hot from a shorthanded standpoint, not just scoring like Slagert did to open things up, but they had chance after chance after chance while shorthanded. And it resulted in, at one point, a 39-10 edge in shots late in the second period. The game was in full control. The only downside was Hauser losing the shutout in period number three. But otherwise, an almost flawless performance by Rochester. Six different snipers. Really just, you know, I think 14 different Amerks had points last night. Exactly what you would hope to see after a frustrating double loss weekend against the Marlies.
And when they took leads against the Marlies and allowed the Marlies to come back and steal those two victories away from the Rochester Americans, you know, they're up to nothing after one. And in the second, let's get on the attack here. And they scored three goals in the first nine minutes or so to take that 5-0 lead. The shots were 40-16 after two. You mentioned like there was a big, big gap. And yes, you know, the Cleveland Monsters got back into getting more shots later in the game, but happy for Hauser. Obviously, the house cat, always a fan favorite. But Victor Norchev, Duffer, he had the assist on the Mason Yops first, second goal of the game for the Americans.
Yes.
But he's got 5 points in five games. He's very noticeable on the ice every time he steps on. He was noticeable in training camp. He was noticeable, you know, starting like this summer. So I think this is great. I think this is really, really great for the Rochester Americans and for the Sabres to see Norchev performing that well.
Yeah. When they were able to get almost every skater seemingly contributing last night on the score sheet, it has to be a little bit freeing for the minds of those who are counted on the most, i.e., And maybe I'm phrasing it the wrong way, but I'm basing it on veteran stature and leadership. Like, Yops needed to break through. Brett Murray needed to break through. And like, once you kind of get those veterans established, whether they end up leading the team in points or not, it's kind of irrelevant. Like, but there's an expectation every year, like, okay, Brett's going to score you close to 20. Yops is going to get you close to 50 points, right? And then all the rest of it can fall into place. I felt like that's been kind of missing here out of the blocks. And again, it's a super small sample size, but it was really, Yops was rewarded for some tenacious work last night. And he is the new captain, of course. So you want to set a bar, you know, for those around you. So good for him. Amerks are on the road for the next four. So you won't see them at Blue Cross Arena until November the 8th. And of course, we're looking forward to tonight's schedule. We're looking forward to the Sabres returning to action on Saturday as Detroit comes in, not knowing what the lineup will be for both at that point in time.
Okay.
But knowing where Detroit and Buffalo have been in the last couple of years, and the fact that the Wings have rebounded of late to get back to 500. Like, if you're making the odds for Saturday, what do those odds look like?
If I'm making the odds, I'm saying the Sabres are probably favored in the game. I would set them at -150. So, and let me see if they already have odds on the books. No, they don't have odds on the books for Saturday yet. So I don't have that in front of me on NHL.com. But yeah, I think I would favor the Sabres in a significant manner. Like, it's not like close to or almost even, but a slight edge. I think the way Buffalo has bounced back after the European trip, after the Pittsburgh and the Columbus games, winning against Chicago, playing that way, beating Dallas. I think beating Dallas would have an effect on the odd makers looking at it. So it'll be interesting to see when the odds come out what that's going to be like. But right now, it's not on NHL.com. It may be on your betting apps, and you can go look at them. But
don't say yours. I don't have any.
I'm talking to the general public here.
I know. You generally don't talk to me specifically. I get it.
No, I'm talking to the general public. Although, I mean, I think because we are living such in a ready, accessible type of world, and in about 20 seconds, I can probably go in and look at it and see if it's even available for now. But no, it's not available for Saturday yet.
Okay, so the Amerks also play on Saturday as they get the back end of the home-and-home with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Which team scores a power play goal first? The Amerks and Sabres are combined 0-48 with the extra man. Last night in the broadcast, Don turns to Andrew. Have you mentioned this stat yet? And Andrew's
about the
like,
power play?
I was going to leave it for you. it was hilarious. I loved it. I mean, and it is what it is. So, like, look,
I'm going to say the Sabres will score before the Amerks. And the reason is because, look, Detroit is going to come in with a penalty killing percentage that is not good. Like, unless they kill 10 in tonight's matchup, like, they're at 68%. They are 28th in the league right now. Only Tampa, the Islanders, the Avalanche, and the Oilers are worse than the Detroit Red Wings. So I'm saying this is your opportunity. And the power plays look better for the Sabres of late. You know what, though? Watching the Washington Capitals on the power play yesterday was really interesting. They are doing something that I haven't seen done in the NHL in a while. Instead of having the 1-3-1, right? The power play quarterback at the blue line, three guys across in the net front. They were playing four corners with a guy in the middle. But four corners, I'm talking about at the blue line, very far away from one another, and down in the corners on the goal line with a guy in the middle, trying to stretch Philadelphia out a little bit. And they had some rotation in there. If you're Buffalo right now and you're like, okay, our power play is moving in the right direction, but if it's not breaking through, what can we think outside the box that maybe would be a new approach? Watch Washington when they're on the power play doing this. And they have Ovechkin that can take the one-timer, just like Thompson can take the one-timer. But their initial setup was so spread out that I was intrigued by it that I wrote it down. I'm like, okay, maybe possible talking point if Buffalo keeps struggling.
Do you want me to ruin what you just talked about?
Well, Washington doesn't have a good power play.
Their power play is 9.5%. Right,
they don't have a good power play, but I haven't watched all the Washington Capitals games this year, so I don't know if they started that way and now and they kept going or if this is an adjustment. But it was, let me tell you, if Philly didn't block about 100 shots yesterday and a lot of them looked like it hurt a ton, but that's a John Tortorella team, like Washington was getting some good looks on the power play.
Team Dreger is coming up here on Sabres Live, but a reminder that we want to see you at the arena on Saturday, right and early. Come join us. It's going to be super fun. Hockey Halloween. The Wings are in spookiest costume. Celebrate Halloween during that matchup. First 5,000 fans in attendance receive a wearable goat head themed flag. And there will be a trick or treat trail available starting at 11:30 in the concourse. And guess what? We're going to be located in the concourse too. No guarantee that we're giving
trail.
Out treats. Well, we may toss some from distance to people just to get it a little more interactive. Visit Sabres.com/tickets today. Darren Dreger next on Sabres Live.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling right along here on Sabres Live, and as promised, Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN, has joined us in his usual Thursday time slot. Hi, Dregs, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Full warning, though. I've got some activity out front of my house, which in front of my office. And my 140-pound Great Dane is on point and trying to secure the household. So if all of a sudden I'm shaking and rattling and you hear this enormous bark, then that's just
where tiny does a 140-pound Great Dane sleep in the house? Is it like trying to wedge between you and Mrs. Dreger, or is it in its room by itself?
No, there are multiple places. In fact, she normally starts beside the bed, on the floor, beside me. And then we have this enormous chair in our bedroom. So she'll spend part of the night there. And then like clockwork, every morning at 6:30 a.m., kaboom, she jumps onto the bed and wedges between us and, you know, wants the big belly scratch with her legs in the air for like 10 minutes. And then That's her morning ritual. Let's get going. I need my two cups of food. Chop, chop. Let's get at it.
Amazing. Speaking of big,
yes.
I keep thinking that Igor Shesterkin's contract should be even bigger. Here's my reasoning why.
And how big? How big, Duffer? Like you say, bigger.
Well,
how big?
Well over, like easily 12, and it can go higher, and I'll be fine with it. You and I, as part of this show, were in agreement, I think, a while back, let's say a month or so, when talking about Shesterkin outside of just the goaltending realm, but more within the context of if he's your best player, how much percentage of the cap should he eat up? Like a McDavid, like a MacKinnon, things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is mind-boggling to me that the goalie union hasn't been able to push this further along. But in 2018-19 and the following season, Carey Price made $15 million in each of those two seasons.
Yeah.
He is still at 10.5 while not playing. Yeah. If you were to say in 2018-19 that the best goalie had a cap hit of 10.5 and that 7, 8 years later, you'd be talking about haggling over a goalie making a $12 million cap hit.
Yeah.
With the inflation and growth in the league. Like, that doesn't line up. Like, so to me, it's obvious. No. Shesterkin should absolutely get 12 or more.
Well, look, I mean, anytime you try and dissect what makes a Stanley Cup champion or a Stanley Cup contending team, you look at three positions. Do they have a legit number one goaltender? And I paused there because I was going to say elite level goaltender, and not every Stanley Cup champion, in fact, many of them don't have elite level goaltending, but they do have legit number ones. Do they have a star centerman and preferably more than one? And do they have a legit number one defense? And again, preferably guys who are top pairing, but you know, play in that 3-4 hole, even the 5-6. You know, I mean, those are the areas, obviously, that you look at. So I'm with you, Duffer. I'm surprised. But so if we just boil it down a little bit now. So the New York Rangers have played, what, 6 games? It's still relatively early. It doesn't feel like the pendulum has swung heavily towards Igor Shesterkin. I think he believes that it's exactly where he knew he was going to be this early in the regular season, and that's why he's galvanized in his position of not accepting less than what he thinks he's worth. And, I mean, if he gets $12 million, that's well-earned, and the goalie market should be reestablished It should be for a guy of this pedigree. So his position is absolutely rock solid. And that's got to keep Kirstjuri a little bit nervous at this stage.
Yeah, because they've played Shesterkin a lot. Jonathan Quick's only played one game, right? So it's not like last year where Quick had to bail Shesterkin early in the season. It's like, no, he's good and he's performing well. On the flip side of this, there's teams that are like, uh-oh, our goaltending is not up to snuff. And Tristan Jarry still has three more years after this season at $5.375 million. He was a healthy scratch when the Pittsburgh Penguins played Nedeljkovic in Calgary and dressed Blomqvist as the backup. Are we in trouble land in Pittsburgh, especially in the crease with Tristan Jarry and other places around the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in Pittsburgh. I don't think there's any doubt of that. You know, again, do you play the early card? And, you know, teams will tell you, and I haven't checked with Kyle Dubas, to be honest here and up front, specific to Jarry, but they will describe it as a reset. Okay, obviously it's not the start that he was expecting, they were counting on, but here we are. So what do you do? You know, there's no market for him at this point. There wouldn't be. How could there be? And then on top of that, you know, can you afford, as the Penguins can't, to go out and spend quality assets on trying to fill that need? And who's available out there that is going to make you that much better? You know, the John Gibson rumors keep circulating. I mean, they do every year. And in this case, they will basically until the March 7th trade deadline. I'm not connecting that possibility to, you know, to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But, you know, I had some conversations with some close to Gibson yesterday, and they were like, okay, well, let's, you know, help us identify what markets we think are going to be in the need of an upgrading goal or at least a stabilizing goaltender.
Yeah.
Nobody just yet. I know, as an example, I know there was lots of conversations between the Carolina Hurricanes and Anaheim Ducks on John Gibson in the summer, right? Yeah. There were. But, you know, I circle back with Carolina, and Eric Telsky says that for the moment, they're happy with where they're at. And I think for a lot of teams, they don't have a choice. They've got to be happy with where they're at until they're not happy. And that's where Pittsburgh is, but they're kind of stuck in the process.
I'd be happy where Freddie Anderson is at. He's fourth in the league and goals save above expectation. Pittsburgh, on the flip side, it's not just about goaltending. They're 31st in expected goals against. Only Montreal is worse than Pittsburgh defending this year when you look at the numbers. So I think Cal Dubas has to worry about his defense and Carlson and others before he's got to worry about that goaltending. But all of all, put it together, Duffer.
Yeah, I think the Gibson thing still makes the most sense for Pittsburgh, as you know, despite the fact that it's been a recurring talking point for years. Yeah. I just don't know, even with their kindest intentions, how Anaheim could do Pittsburgh that big of a favor to make it work financially for the Penguins and for the Ducks not to get something meaningful in return. And you're right, Dregs. Like, it's not like the Penguins are flush with young players that they can give away as part of a normal package here. So yeah, fascinating. But incredibly early, and Jarry's had these moments before, like many goaltenders have had. So we'll see.
The Islanders, Samsonov last year had to get a reset, right?
Yeah, and it happens.
And now he's playing well in with Toronto, and he's playing well in Vegas. Like, it happens.
Hey, how do you think Utah's going to try to, I know it always starts internally and they have depth. I get it, but like potentially crippling long-term injuries. Durzi, most likely gone for the year. Marino, 3 to 4 months. That's a massive hit on this blue line. What's up with Utah?
Well, I mean, the best case scenario for Billy Armstrong in Utah is to try and plug some holes internally. That's a tall ask when you're trying to fill the skates of the two guys that you just mentioned here, Duffer. So I think that there are multiple things going on around Utah. No sense of urgency on the trade front. But why wouldn't you make some calls? I mean, obviously, you know, you've got teams that are, you know, soon going to come out of LTI. You know, I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Timothy Liljegren can't stay in the lineup on Craig Berube's blue line. So could he be, you know, a stopgap in Utah? It feels like Liljegren needs a fresh start. It does. He's a better defenseman than the way he's shown here. You know, I look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, who steamrolled the Maple Leafs on Tuesday night, but they've got some pieces on that defense that I think they'd consider moving. And what about the Nashville Predators? I'm sure you guys caught this, and I should remember the reporter who talked to Barry Trotz, but I can't. Anyway, I read it on social media where Barry Trotz this week was talking about how he's working the phones, right? And he'd love to add a centerman. But there's no one available right now. It's too early, so he's just going to have to be patient. Well, Dante Fabbro, for me, if I were a team looking for a defenseman, man, I'd be circling his name. You know, he's a decent-sized right-shot defenseman. Some nights he's playing 18, 20 minutes with Roman Josi, and then the next night he's in the press box. Mm-hmm. So what is he? Is he a top-four guy? Is he a third pairing? Can he play in the league? I think he can. But the most attractive part of Dante Fabbro, and I'm going to talk more about this tonight on Insider Trading, he's on a one-year deal at $2.5 million. He's 26 years old. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year at 27. Like, I don't know. So my point is, there are pieces available to Utah. There are pieces out there if they don't like what they see internally.
Have you heard anything from Buffalo's standpoint on that? I mean, we're sitting here, they've had Bryson, they've had Gilbert. Like, you know, Gilbert has gotten into a game, but Bryson hasn't played. They have established veteran depth in Rochester, as Clegg is one of their top guys. He's played with the Sabres over the last couple of years.
Lots of depth there.
It does seem like that. So
yeah. And I haven't heard anything connecting Buffalo, but you know, that's not to say, again, it's the old cliche. Of course, they're in conversations. I think the reality, though, is, as Trotz acknowledged, you know, in his quote, it's just too early. I mean, we haven't played 10 regular season games yet. So whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Ottawa, whether it's Toronto, any of these teams that have these developing players or have players with experience that are in their lineup, all clubs covet their depth. At this point of the regular season, they do.
What is going on? You mentioned Ottawa. What is going on with Linus Ullmark? Cautious approach. It reminds me of COVID when it was with an abundance of caution. We're going to cancel tonight's game because Linus Ullmark is living in the abundance of caution world right now. Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, when he first was sidelined, the message that I got from the Sens was, we don't have any concerns. It's minor. He just needs a few days rest. Well, that was several days ago. And was it this past weekend, or was it maybe in the weekend before? I think it was this last weekend where maybe, anyway, 10 days ago, Linus Ullmark met with the media.
Yeah.
And he was very open, not specific to his injury, but it was interesting in how he described, you got to be careful when you feel something. And Marty, you know, you can acknowledge this. When you feel something, you know it's not right. Yeah, the spirit of the player, the compete in the individual, wants to play through it. But then the worry comes in, okay, well, if I play through it and something serious happens, now it's not day to day, it's multiple weeks. As soon as he said that, I went, nah, he's not day. Like, he's not ready. He's gonna take whatever time is necessary to get through this. And I think goaltenders more than ever. Marty, how many games did you start in the National Hockey League where you felt 100% going into that game and then felt 100% coming out of that game? It'd be a low percentage.
Well, no, I'll be honest with you, Dregs. That probably is an exception to the rule because I never really had to worry about any nagging injuries. Like, I broke my collarbone, that was it. But I do remember one time in Philly, my hip was bothering me a little bit. After the game, I see the doctor, he's looking at me, he goes, sorry, kid, we're going to get an MRI tomorrow, but it looks like you'll have to get a surgery and you'll be out for the year. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm just feeling a little pinch here or whatever. The next day, go get an MRI, get a day off, right? And I'm waiting, like, patiently of, am I going to be done? Do I need hip surgery?
Yeah.
And then the second day after that, I was feeling pretty good. And my trainer goes, no, you just had a little bit of a hip pointer, like whatever, you're good. Perfect. I went on the ice and didn't miss. So I went from missing the whole season with a hip surgery to being all right 48 hours later. Like that's how sometimes things turn around, but it could be the opposite too, where things are minor, but really they become major.
And look, I know we have to wrap up here, but there's a sense out there, and not just from inside the goalie fraternity, but around clubs, that these guys work too hard. And that's on ice and off ice, and particularly on game days, where Joe Woll, as an example, who's expected to start tonight against the St. Louis Blues. I mean, this guy was lifting weights in the gym on game days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at some point, maybe.
I followed Marty Brodeur's program. I knew Marty a little bit, and I followed his program, so that was good.
Eat and sleep. That's all you have to do.
And I would suggest that Marty and maybe others and perhaps goaltenders moving forward should follow Glenn Hall's program, as the Hall of Famer turned 93 recently, and his philosophy was always to show up a little late at camp because he was busy painting the barn in Stony Plain, Alberta. So, you know what? It worked out for Glenn. 502 consecutive
up
games
there,
and all the rest of it. Yeah. So, good stuff, Drags. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Darren Dreger from TSN. We'll wrap Sabres Live after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, Marty, we've got less than 2 minutes, and I'm wondering what you actually did with your time last night, given that there were so little hockey to watch.
What I did with my time last night, I did watch hockey. I flipped back with some basketball, trying to just get my sports in right now, and as the NBA season is starting, set my fantasy football lineup for the weekend. I had a crushing loss in fantasy last week against my buddy Tim, which I lost to in the championship game last year. So I'm not doing good against him. And that was basically it. I was tired. I had to go to bed early, but thankfully there was no late games to keep me up.
Give you $1 million if you can name the two artists that I listened to albums from in their entirety last night.
Okay, well, Mark and Joe. I'm just going with first name only.
You could have actually landed on a first name, because one of the artists was Dean Lewis, other one was Iron Maiden. So I couldn't have been at the ends of the spectrum. So Maiden is playing in Toronto this Saturday night. I didn't even know they were like a thing again, right?
Yeah, no.
And so I went back to mid-80s and went top to bottom on a couple albums, and it was like, ooh, I remember why I liked this. So,
Iron Maiden, is going back to my Columbia days when I got tapes from Columbia for $2.99.
Oh, you overpaid. You're only supposed to pay a penny for 13 of them. Kind of like the Sabres live rate. We'll see you tomorrow.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.